everyone, and welcome to Player Advantage. I almost said the wrong name of the show. Almost did the wrong intro.
We're off to a great start.
Hello. We did not mean to take a month off, but our schedules got weird because I'm doing another show now.
I'm dead all the time.
Really.
Fucking awesome.
Did like three times last week. We were like, all right, we can do it this day. And then it just did not fucking work out. But I'm Marcus, that's Mo.
Hi.
We are here to just talk about shooting the breeze.
This is quite literally shooting the breeze, but it's shooting the shit podcast.
Yeah, this is really just talking. This is just an excuse for us to have like a scheduled hangout, frankly.
Yeah, no, it's nice. It's nice to have.
Yeah.
What are you going to talk about? Pick two things you're going to talk about right now. This is how we're going to start every time.
Shit.
Random. Throwing dart at a dartboard.
Fuck. Oh, jeez. Oh, God. I've been playing. Is it hot here? This is Puff. What have I been playing that isn't fucking...
Oh, shit.
I'm sitting here playing Forza. You know what? Actually, I have been playing, and I know it's a sports game, and because I'm me, we're going to talk about it, but I've been playing a lot of NHL 21. Shocker, right? It's just got a lot of really good presentation for a fucking sports game.
I could see it being really compelling.
It's not changing the fucking world. It, at the end of the day, is a fucking hockey video game. But it's a hockey video game that I enjoy. And it has... So, when you win the championship in the franchise mode or the career mode, there are just shots of the other team, like, sitting on the ground, sitting on the ice, dejected. Just... The other team's goalie just sitting there, just like, fuck, man.
Oh, it rolls.
It's so good. I tweeted the other day, like, wow, it's really incredible how great this game's production is, or presentation is. And then the next season, I got injured three separate times and only played, like, 17 games. I was like, oh. Well, you know what? Maybe we could tone this down a little bit on the realism, guys. Just a thought.
Just a little bit too much. A little bit too much.
What's the other fucking game I've been playing?
It's funny because it feels like them being like dejected. It's like out of a fucking sports anime.
Yeah. I have gotten closer to finishing Yakuza 0, which I circle back to once a year and then spend forever playing the fucking cabaret game. Sega should make that its own game. Like, I'll pay $20 right now for just Yakuza Cabaret Club, the game.
Shit, it's that good?
It's, think Diner Dash, but you're running a cabaret club.
Oh, that fucking rules.
It's awesome, actually.
I'm sold.
See, I've been doing that. I'm reading a lot of comics lately because I started a fucking comic book podcast.
Oh, I would roll too.
And so I don't want to get too into like what I've been reading or like into the weeds with the specifics, because I have a whole other show dedicated to that. But our first three episodes are out. It's us talking about The Judas Contract on episode 1, Red Hood and the Outlaws on episode 2, which is objectively one of the worst fucking pieces of shit I've ever read in my life. I hate that fucking comic so much. Episode 3 was on Spider-Man Back in Black, and
yes,
our
so cool.
upcoming episode this week is going to be about Avengers vs. X-Men, and that's going to be a lot of fun. To just get into. I'll say this as kind of a sneak preview. It is a story that requires two things. One, Wolverine to be a dumbass, and two, Captain America and Iron Man to be total dicks all the time, who are more obsessed with being correct than, like, fucking listening.
so beautiful.
Because, like, beautiful. So in a way, the mutant metaphor with the X-Men always, like, for a lot of people, it doesn't hit because it's always, like, the X-Men are going, oh, we're oppressed. Mutant kind is oppressed. But also, a lot of you could raise the Earth if you wanted to. But this story really highlights, it's something that's said really early on in it, that humans only care about mutants and what's affecting them when it also affects humans. Like, hey, a bus full of mutant children got blown up. Where were the Avengers then? You know, where were the Avengers when Genosha happened and millions of mutants died that day? Nowhere to be found. But as soon as it's like, uh-oh, this thing we vaguely understand has some slight tie to the X-Men and it might affect humans, we should probably go talk to them. Then it's time to go talk to them, you know?
Ice. Yeah. Shit, yeah, that's... Never thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. You think that's something they could put in the MCU and really, really make it, I don't know, not good?
So I think they could put that in. I think it's something that you could do feasibly. You'd have to, The problem with it is that the Avengers are the most marketable thing that they have, and they can't just be like, oh, by the way, they just neglected all this shit that happened to all these people.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You know, they just kind of looked, they just didn't care. This wasn't important to them. And so that's, I don't know if that's something you can reckon with in that setting.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's something that you can make work given that. One thing I've been watching is, so actually, now I think about it, I've been watching a lot more than I've been like playing. I went back and I watched the entire first season of Teen Titans.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How'd that go?
That show still rules. It was a show that I, like every other person who grew up in the early 2000s, have a lot of nostalgia for. It's probably one of the things that got me the most into comic books. And I thought to myself for a while that maybe it didn't hold up. And maybe a lot of it was my nostalgia talking. But no, it's still the shit. It's still great. Because those episodes fly by. It's like 21 minutes. Boom, boom, boom. We're in and we're out. And a lot of it is honestly better than I remember. Ron Perlman as Slade or Deathstroke is an incredible piece of casting.
I always forget that he played Slade.
Yeah, he's fucking perfect. He's so menacing all the time. He's just like, hello, Robin. I'm going to kill all your friends in front of you.
When he raises his voice, I'm like, yes. Oh, shit.
Yeah, the mask doesn't move much, but when it does, you better listen.
I'm like, fuck, that's a lot. And that's the thing about the episode that you brought up, that it's 21 minutes. They're 21 minutes, but they fly by because the pacing is so, like, on the money.
Yeah.
Like, getting all that in 21 minutes and not having it be a clusterfuck all the time.
Right. Like, yeah. And that's the thing, is that it never feels cramped. Like, everything feels like it has enough time to breathe. Couple episodes of it I want to kind of shout out as being particularly fucking great. In season one, there's an episode called The Sum of His Parts, I think. which is about Cyborg. And it's... Every Cyborg episode is just like, hey, kids, have you heard of body horror?
Yeah, literally.
Like, all the time with him. It's just body horror or identity issues or something like that. And that episode is fucking excellent. Which, shout out to Tom Kenny, because he plays a couple different characters in that episode, and he kills it. He knocks it out of the park. There's also the two-parter called Apprentice, I think, where Slade makes Robin work for him under threat of I'll kill all your friends with probes.
Oh my god, yes.
Yeah.
Why do I remember that one?
Because it's a great episode.
So fucking good.
Like, it really is one that sticks with you.
Yeah, wow. I totally forgot about that one.
Yeah, it's a really good show, and I'm really honestly, I might bang out some more season two soon, because season two is the Terra stuff, which
Terra stuff's so good.
I covered in the Judas Contract episode the original take on Terra and how different that take is on her in the Judas Contract. I think in Teen Titans, especially in the episodes Aftershock. Which are kind of, I think those are the season two finale episodes. I think that, that's such an interesting take on a much different story.
Yeah.
So I've been watching that, and it's been a lot of fun. I've been showing my friends who haven't seen it before, who were, like, friends who are a couple years younger than me, so they kind of missed it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think you and I were, like, right at the perfect age to watch that and, like, get it when it came out.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you remember when, what was that, the movie came out around that time, too?
The movie came out, I think I would have been, like, 12 or 13 when the movie came out.
Yeah, like, I was I think might have been a year or so older.
Yeah, because you're older than me, so.
Yeah, it was such a good time to, like, mm-hmm.
And, like, it's funny because a lot of people missed that movie. And so, as far as they know, that series ends with the episode Things Change, which is Beast Boy sees Terra again after she is seemingly killed at the end of Aftershock.
Yeah.
And Beast Boy sees Terra again, and the girl who looks and sounds exactly like Terra insists that she is not. And she tells him at the end of the episode, well, things change. And it's such a downer ending. And a lot of people, that's part of where I think a lot of the vitriol for Teen Titans Go comes from, is that the original show seems to end off on such a like downer, terrible note. And then 8 years later, they come out with this show where it's like, haha, we're just making jokes now. We're using these characters to make jokes. And I don't have a problem with Teen Titans Go. I think Teen Titans Go is really funny, actually.
Yeah, it's really funny. Yeah.
There's an episode where they make a joke involving... Actually, I guess it's a recurring character. Painbot.
Painbot?
Painbot, the robot that only knows pain.
Oh my god, it's horrible.
It's...
amazing.
It literally says... All I know is pain.
It's fucking awesome.
It's ridiculous. It's so, so goofy, and I love it. And a lot of people did not, and that's because their last memory of the original Teen Titans show is that downer ending. Because a lot of people love Beast Boy and Terra and have this deep affection for them as a couple, which is not their relationship in the comics.
Oh no, absolutely not.
In the comics, Terra is like a horrible bitch. And I say that as lovingly as I can, because I kind of I love that she's a horrible bitch. I think it rules.
She's really reckless and shit, right?
That's but also she's working for Slade. On purpose, for fun.
Yeah, on purpose, for fun. Yeah.
Because she is evil, and there is no
Like, they think, like, you made her like this, Deathstroke. And he's like, no, she was like this when I met her. She's just like this.
I didn't do shit.
This kid is just fucked up.
I didn't know that. That scene ended things.
That's how the show ends until the movie. Fucked up. Yeah, because the way the show is structured is that every character gets a season.
Oh, okay.
So season one is about Robin. Season two is about Tara. Season three is about Raven. I think season... Hold on, let me check. How many shits does the show have? But, like, it's structured that way, but then Starfire never gets an arc. Like, however it breaks down, Starfire never gets, never really gets it. And so ended up... Yeah, there's five seasons. So then the movie is about Starfire.
Oh, okay. That's pretty good. It is about Starfire. Holy shit. Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
That's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah, season one is about Robin. Season two is about Tara. Season three is about Cyborg. Season four is about Beast Boy. And season five is about Beast Boy.
Oh, okay.
Also, season two of Teen Titans. If you've never seen, or you just have like a vague recollection of it, go watch season two, episode one of Teen Titans. It's called How Long Is Forever. It might be the best episode of that show. It is the episode where... So, like, because the way the show is structured, every season is about a different character, this is probably the best Starfire spotlight episode, because she never got a whole season. She just gets kind of scattered spotlight episodes here and there up until the movie. Season 2, Episode 1 is a Starfire spotlight episode in which they fight a villain from the future. Starfire chases that villain into the future, and then he's trying to jump 100 years ahead. She cuts him off at 10, and they wind up 10 years in the future. Or 20 years in the future. And that day, before they left to go fight that guy, the Titans had had a fight. And so this had made it worse. Starfire is like the emotional center of this team. She is keeping it together for everybody. And so when she's gone, everybody just drifts apart. So Robin becomes Nightwing and is just doing his thing. Oh, Beast Boy. You remember that episode?
Yeah. I went to Google it, and I'm like, oh, fuck, that's right. Uh-huh.
Beast Boy becomes a one-man zoo. Raven is a total shut-in, and Cyborg is confined to the tower because his power cells are obsolete now. And so the only way he is staying alive is being hooked up to Titan's Tower. And it's just a really, really fucking great episode. And that's kind of my soapbox for that is, go watch Teen Titans Season 2, Episode 1, How Long Is Forever. It's fantastic. I also, kind of in the same vein, I started Season 4 of Young Justice, which reminded me I need to go back and watch Season 3 because there's a lot of shit that they're referencing that I don't remember because I watched Season 3 in like one go on a weekend 2 years ago.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Season 4 of Young Justice. I will keep it as spoiler-free as I can. Just know that the first 5 episodes are about Martian racism.
I'm sorry, what?
You heard me. Racism on Mars. Racism in space.
What shit? That sounds amazing.
It's a lot. At some point, Superboy says the phrase, "You're biracial."
Holy shit! I need that as my ringtone. It has a ringtone.
She's biracial. Biracial girl. Like, he might as well sing that. It's so,
might as well.
It's that's, so out of control.
That's fucking insane.
It's nuts. So there's that. And the last thing, before I pass it over to you, is I started... I say started, but I'm caught up to it. Arcane on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. Is that the League of Legends
it is show? It's the show based on League of Legends. It's explaining the lore, which is crazy. And, you know, it's fine. I think it's... I'm enjoying it up to episode 6.
Mm-hmm.
I think... Like, the thing I keep coming back to, the more I watch it, is that I don't think I have ever seen a character get introduced to an existing property and just eat everybody's lunch the way that Jinx did to League of Legends. Because I remember... I don't think I was playing it when she got introduced. I think if I was, I had just started playing it after like 2 years of my friends playing it. And me not doing it and then one day actually watching them do it and going, oh, this game actually looks kind of fun. Jinx gets introduced... I want to say Jinx was introduced in 2013. If not 2013, then 2014. And she kind of immediately became like the face of that... The face of that fucking franchise.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I don't remember playing... I remember her being there when I was playing it, but...
Mm-hmm. Let's see. I'm looking it up. But yeah, she got introduced and was just immediately... All right, this is the fucking protagonist of this series now.
Complete breakout character.
Yes, just the absolute fucking breakout character. And... A lot of... You know, there's the easy... Well, she's a Harley Quinn type... where you can go, but it helps that she had a really fun design and that she is kind of like she's a character that you can't not see. Like, if you do a big splash page of all the characters in League of Legends, she's one that immediately grabs your attention because she has this really bright color palette. She's got this really distinct look. And that just really, really, I think, caused her to like just jump to the forefront of that series more than anybody, because a lot of, and granted, around the time she was introduced they were really varying up the character designs, but let's say Jinx marks a real hard shift in how they developed characters.
Yeah.
Because, like, think of all the characters that existed to that point. It was like Garen and Darius and Twisted Fate and Misfortune. Like, a lot of characters who felt like you could just swap them in and out of things.
Yeah, no, they were all very generic.
Yeah.
Very generic characters.
And then...
You know, I like them, but...
Then here's this character who you can't not see, you know? So she was added October of 2013, so 8 years ago. And... God, that's weird to say that was 8 years ago. But...
Yeah, no, thanks for that, by the way.
She was introduced in late 2013, so I think I started playing, like, right after this. Like... I want to say I started playing around Christmas that year. And she just very quickly just became the face of the franchise. And it's very telling that she is the main character of this show. You know, the main characters of that show are her, Vi, who is officially confirmed in this show to be her sister.
Love it.
Caitlyn, who Vi has is let's say an interesting relationship with. We'll circle back to that. Jace, who in lore developed fucking the biggest piece of technology that drives everything in the game, and kind of some other characters. Those are like your main four. Caitlin and Vi, what they're doing with them, they are playing a dangerous game if they don't follow through in the way that makes sense.
Oh my god.
Because...
Yeah. Are they teasing it, or are they just...
Here, I'll send you the screenshot I took, and you tell me. let me... Because I had to pause and go, hey, wait a second. What are you guys doing over here?
Hold on. So,
hold on a minute. So there's the first one.
Let's get this shit.
And here is the other one.
Oh my
yeah, god. Yeah.
Why are y'all so close to each other?
why are your faces so close together?
Why are your faces so close to each other?
Why are you holding her face in your hands like that?
Oh, happy Honda days. This is crazy.
Yeah, so
whoa. They need to pull the fucking trigger.
Yeah, that's the thing, is they've got to do that. I think they will, but they are, if they don't, all the goodwill that they've built up with this show, like all the, because I think people are very into it. There's been a lot of like positive response to it. All that'll go away. All of that will go away immediately. If they either don't do it, or yeah, if they don't do it, really, if they, you know, I think enough companies have enough productions, enough television shows, video games, whatever, have gotten into hot water for baiting people and then not actually doing it. DC Comics just got in trouble for it. I say in trouble, but like a lot of people got pissed at them for it, because they were like, for like a pride thing, it was like Harley and Ivy, but they very clearly censored where originally they kiss.
What the fuck?
Like, it was like Harley and Ivy, and originally they kiss each other on the mouth, and they edited it so it's a kiss on the cheek. And it's like, come on, guys.
Holy shit, that's awful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talk about tone deaf.
Yeah, and so with this, it's like, if you're not going to do it, you have to not do it in a way, like, the way that I think they'll end up not doing it is that in-game, I'm pretty sure Vi has some kind of amnesia. So you can get away with it by jumping to Vi has amnesia now and doesn't remember. And you can, if you wanted to, you could do it as like a tragic lost love thing.
Yeah. And then eventually maybe...
Eventually have her remember it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you can Han Solo it and have like, they have this moment and then for whatever reason... They are torn apart. Not killed. Don't kill. And they won't do that. They're not going to kill these characters.
Oh, but yeah.
They are, for whatever reason, separated after it is established that they have these feelings for each other. Because I think that you can't do these things with these characters and then not have it pay off in some way. There has to be a conclusion to it that isn't just, oh, no, I wasn't into you like that, because that sucks.
Yeah, no, that's terrible. And they don't have any – because this is on Netflix, right? There's no excuse.
Yeah, Netflix doesn't give a fuck.
Because She-Ra did that shit. Netflix is – they have She-Ra. They had She-Ra do that.
Yeah, She-Ra did it. You know? They also exclusively have Power Rangers now, and Power Rangers just did it.
Really?
Yes. That's yeah. You know, you didn't know about the lesbian Power Ranger?
No.
Yeah, the Power Dino Fury, I think is the name of the current season. The Green Ranger there, this girl Izzy, is a lesbian, which I think is neat.
Oh, that's so good. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That fucking rules. I'm looking at it right now. All right. Good stuff.
Yeah. But that's kind of been me for the last couple weeks. Just that, working on MCMF, drawing a ton. Just I've been a busy boy. Busy boy.
Busy boy.
Yeah.
Busy bee.
What have you been up to?
Oh, oodles. Since we've last spoke or did the podcast, I recently finished Steel Ball Run part 7,
which is great because part 6 is out on the 1st.
The first 12 episodes, let's fucking go. I'm a little sad that we aren't gonna get JoJo Fridays for a little bit longer, but
yeah,
but hey, you know, I'll take what I can get. Finished Steel Ball Run. A lot of feelings. I'm still trying to process it a little bit, trying to figure out like it's a great manga. If you guys haven't, I don't want to spoil anything, but it's very good. It's a reboot of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. It takes place in what, 1890?
Something like that.
During a horse race. The Steel Ball Run horse race.
What a stupid premise.
It's so stupid. But it's so fun, right? Yeah. Because they're like, oh, you're gonna have a lot of horse, or like you have like the counterpart to Abdal, like on a camel. He's in the fucking race. Diego is. There's Dio, but his name is Diego.
Diego Brando, yeah.
Yeah, Diego Brando, which his character's fucking completely different from the original universe. You have a character named Hot Pants who is the love of my fucking life. Love of my fucking life, Hot Pants. Let's go. Number one Hot Pants stan in the fucking building. We have obviously Johnny and Gyro. They're both wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
They're absolutely great.
It's weird because one of the few things I do know about Steel Ball Run is that Gyro is not Will Zeppeli. He's Caesar.
He is Caesar. He is Julius Caesar Zeppeli. Julius Caesar Zeppeli. It's weird because there are. It's paying homage to the first three parts of JoJo.
Yeah, it's parts 1 through 3 are all kind of rolled into one. And then JoJo Leon is part 4.
Yeah, it's part 3 and 4 a little bit. Because you got like some characters who are kind of like Jotaro in a way, which is very interesting. But like you also see his hat in a frame or in a panel, which I got a fucking kick out of. It's in a hat shop, like one of the first two chapters.
Oh, it's just there.
It's just fucking there. Gyro and Gyro and Johnny's hats are there too, but Zeppeli is—he's kind of like he's Will and Caesar Zeppeli rolled into one, and the best qualities of those characters brought to the surface without having it seem jarring. He's amazing. He's such an amazing character, and Johnny is like. Crazy amazing too. He's probably, you know, obviously Jolene was the start of like Araki being like, okay, I should probably have a fucking character arc for my main characters. I'm gonna do that. I'm not gonna have them be practically the same fucking character the entire time. We're gonna give them some depth, okay? Because part five, Giorno, you know, people put a lot of stuff into him, and I understand that.
Well, Giorno, in a weird way, is, sorry to cut you off. Giorno, in a weird way, isn't the protagonist of part five. Like, he is. But it's kind of the Bruno Bucciarati show.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He plays more of the typical, like, JoJo main character up until, like, the third act. Or
right, and then Giorno is more in line with, like, Zeppeli.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's an interesting dynamic, but at the same time, he doesn't change a whole deal. And I know, like, in part four, Josuke doesn't change a whole lot. Jotaro doesn't. I mean, he changes.
He changes part to part, but he doesn't change within the parts.
No, he doesn't.
Because part three, Jotaro, and part four, Jotaro, there's a huge...
huge difference.
Huge difference in his personality. And then part four to part six.
Oh, part six. Oh, my God. It's sad seeing Jotaro in part six.
Yeah.
It sucks. That man, like, his ankles are just being destroyed. Because he's just so slow now. He, like, he's like, I'm about to summon Star Platinum. And he just gets shot.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, you don't know what you're doing anymore.
You can't do it.
You can't do it. You know, it just takes anybody to juke him. Emporio could just juke the guy and he would just like fall onto the ground.
Right.
Be too much for him. But Jolene was the start of this, you know, ongoing character arc because she is so much different at the end than she is at the beginning. She's like, it's kind of what the main voice actress for Jolene actually said, like, kind of a brat at birth, and then she becomes, you know, a really strong, amazing character who like understands what's important.
Yeah,
Johnny is like fucking like there's so much to him. There's like this huge theme of like fatherhood throughout part seven, which is just so like I didn't pick up on it until like the very end with some other characters explaining like their backstories, all about dads, mm-hmm. all about father issues, and you know, there's a lot of trauma to Johnny, and there's a real like darkness in him very clearly, especially when you like you realize, okay, this guy is like actually starting like to take some really bad solutions to problems, you know. Mm-hmm. He's not Jonathan Joestar. He's very clearly
yes, he is his own person, separate from his alternate universe counterpart.
Absolutely, and it's a lot. It's jarring. He is no gentleman, but he's also just amazing. He's like a really, really amazing character. Struck Gold, or I guess Struck Gold, both of them. The villain's amazing too. Holy shit!
He's the president of the United States.
He's I don't know. It's in the '20s, like the 23rd, the 24th president of the United States. That motherfucker is like, you know. I mean, if it wasn't for the patriotism, I'd be like, oh yeah, absolutely. He's like dynamite. I love him so much. Obviously, he also does some really questionable shit.
Yeah.
But he's a very good character. Very, very good character. Great, great villain. You know, it's, you know how it ends and everything.
I don't want to spoil it. I know the ocean is involved.
Yes, it sure is.
I know the ocean is involved. I know Jesus's corpse is involved.
Yes, yes, the corpse of oh boy,
a saint.
It's not just a saint.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, how do they say it? Because, like...
Jesus Christ.
Oh, they do say Jesus Christ.
I'm pretty sure they say Jesus Christ. Or at the very least, they're like, this is Jesus Christ. We aren't going to say Jesus Christ.
Right, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is they're like, yeah, he was a saint. And because they don't want to say it's Jesus.
Yeah, even though he Rocky's is very clearly he's
supposed to be Jesus. Yeah,
he's drawn Jesus Christ. It's really funny. It's one of the best adaptations of Jesus Christ Superstar. Those seven fucking pages. I forgot how many there were, but it's still so good, and it's so fucking strange. I've now started Jojolion. I don't know what the fuck's going on. I mean, I know what's going on, but I don't know what's going on.
Uh-huh.
Rocky is at the point where he's like, I'm just gonna make shit really fucking weird for you. You're gonna have really strange stands. And I'm just like, okay, how does this work? They explain it thoroughly enough within the universe's rules, but it's also what the fuck am I looking at?
What's happening here?
Yeah, no, literally, what's going on? Do you mind if I tell you?
Yeah, go ahead.
A stand. A street has a stand. A whole street. A whole block has a stand. I'm not fucking with you. I was like, what's going on? It's called, Shakedown Street? Or something? Shakedown Road. It's Shakedown Road.
It's Bad Street, USA?
It is bad, yes. Here's the problem with that street, right? Oh my god, it's so crazy. You get fucked over in that road. Like, people take your damn money. And they'll be like, oh, you crashed into this glass. And it's like, there's no way I crashed into that glass. And there's these little things under these leaves that will move you to break the thing without you realizing it. Without anyone realizing it. Even when you're recording it. It's like this, it's fucking weird. It's, I don't know what the fuck's going on.
I can't believe this.
They just figured it out when I was reading it. I was like, this is... It's fucking awesome.
There's always one totally unexplainable stand user.
It's the street this time.
Let's see. In part three, there's the orangutan with the boat.
Oh my fucking god, that guy.
this entire boat is my stand.
What?
Also, there's the fly.
Oh my god, the fucking fly.
The tower.
Yeah, tower of whatever.
Tower of Grey, tower. I think.
Tower of Grey, yeah.
And then there's Superfly in part four.
Oh my god, yeah, the fucking...
fucking the radio tower.
The radio tower, yeah. Oh my fucking god. Part five,
There's every other member of Passion.
Oh yeah, absolutely. The Grateful Dead's fucking insane. Pesci's whatever the fuck. Beach Boy.
Oh, I know what the weird one is. It's why am I forgetting? The stand that's got the arrow in it. What's the...
Oh, Chariot Requiem. Yes.
No, not Chariot Requiem.
No, not him.
The one that it stabs people with the arrow. It's got the arrow in its mouth.
Oh, Black Sabbath?
Black Sabbath, yes.
Black Sabbath, yeah, that's fucking strange. That's fucking weird.
Because it's Popo stand, but it only activates if the candle gets blown out.
And then part six, we have Bohemian Rhapsody. Where the fuck is Mickey?
Oh, remember how there may or may not be two different stands called Earth, Wind, and Fire?
Oh my god, yeah, because Araki forgot that he named Mickey Taka's stand Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah, but it also might not be a stand. He might just be an alien.
He might just be an alien. We don't know.
We never find out. That's never confirmed one way or the other.
I love that. And he's like, he deliberately, he goes full David Lynch. I will not elaborate.
I think Hellraiser is my most spiritual film. Would you like to elaborate on that? No. No, I don't think I will.
Wow. Steel Ball Run's incredible. Wait, I'm trying to figure out what... No, Love Train is the fucking weird ass. That's the weirdest stand. I can't. It's so hard.
I love that you can. After a certain point, you can just grab a random song title and say it's a stand, and people will believe you.
No, I can just say Burning Star 4 is like one of the best stands I've ever seen. Also, it would actually be a sick stand name, I think. Burning Star
4. No, you got to use the whole title. This is my stand. Oh. Good Apollo, Volume 1. Good Apollo and Burning Star 4, Volume 1, from Fear Through the Eyes of Madness. Also, From Fear Through the Eyes of Madness is a great stand name.
That's a fucking fun. Rocky Part 9, Coheed's Cambria
stand. Coheed stands? Okay, hold on. Let's go through.
Coheed stands. June Song Provision.
June Song Provision is a good one.
That's a good one.
I'll just pull it up there.
Here we are, Juggernaut? No.
No, that doesn't work. Let's just go through Second Stage Turbine Blade. Second Stage Turbine Blade is a great fucking stand name.
That's perfect.
Delirium Trigger.
Yes.
Elf Tower, New Mexico. This is my stand. Elf Tower, New Mexico.
Oh my god.
The Crowing. My stand, 2113.
Oh my god, that'd be perfect.
Queen of the Dark would be a good one.
Hearshot Kid Disaster.
Hearshot Kid Disaster fucks, man.
It fucks so good. Oh, God.
I was going to say 10 Speed, but 10 Speed is a stand.
10 Speed is literally
like
a stand.
The fucking giant burning bike that exists inside the writer's mind, that's a stand.
That is a stand. We've just confirmed this.
It's a stand that talks and tells its user, like, your girlfriend's a whore.
It's like,
your girlfriend's a slut.
My reputation for misogyny is legendary.
The fucking bike is like,
come on, Jigen. Yeah, no, it's fucking insane.
The bike is like, hey, you should kill that character you based on your girlfriend off. It's like, fucking why? Because she's a whore.
He's like, and that's coming from a bicycle? A different context.
Yeah, well, because that's him going, like, he's like, he says, enough, you fucker! And he's like, fucker? He sure did! It's like, you are a bike, and you're not real. Please shut up.
Worst stand ever.
And then what you're thinking of is in the song 10 Speed, where the bike says,
are you going to kill her off?
Are you going to kill her off? No, that's not your decision. I love the character. She stays. Yeah, well, the only things love's done is put you in this position. I say kill her off. Yeah, well, you say a lot of things. And how does that work? You're a bicycle.
There you go. That would be the and I think that's the strangest stand in a good Apollo.
Is 10 Speed? Well, 10 speed. I was 10 Speed would be, that's crazy. Yeah, as a song title for a stand, 10 Speed of God's Blood and Burial is a good one. Yes. My stand, Mother May I.
Oh, Mother May I is pretty good, yeah.
Which I'm remembering is a Teen Titans villain. There is a Teen Titans villain named Mother May I.
Oh, shit. No World for Tomorrow would definitely be one.
Oh, No World for Tomorrow's got some good ones. The Hound.
Yep. No World for Tomorrow, Radio Bye Bye. That'd be Radio Bye Bye.
Yeah, Radio Bye Bye. That's a fucking song, stand name.
That's a stand name.
And its special move would be called The End Complete.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about AEW?
Maybe. Do you want to talk about AEW?
We're almost an hour in, so I think now is a good enough time to... It's about time for some cowboy shit. Where's my hat?
We're out.
Hell yeah. I bought a cowboy hat last week.
This nigga told me different. I don't have a cowboy hat.
And I bought that cowboy hat because last Saturday we witnessed some cowboy shit.
Oh, some really good cowboy shit.
Some cowboy shit when... in the main event. So we're not going to get all the way into Full Gear, because then we'll be here all fucking night.
Oh, yeah, no, literally. Yeah, no, I can't.
I
also didn't watch all of
it. I also did not watch all of Full Gear, because, look, I think that Saturday pay-per-views are a great idea, but I work on Saturdays, so I don't get home until, like, halfway through the show. And then I just did not watch it back. Because as I previously stated, I'm very busy.
Yeah, I was gonna say the only excuse I have is that I just was tired or busy. It's one of those two. I don't remember last Saturday all that much, to be quite honest with you.
So they paid off a 2-year storyline with Hangman Page, who we were talking about it before we started the show. If you had told me in August of 2019 that my favorite character in AEW, I'm not even going to say my favorite wrestler, because I think my favorite wrestler is still Bryan Danielson. But if you had told me my favorite character, the guy I am most excited to see, like his music comes on and I get pumped up, would be Hangman Adam Page, I don't think I would have believed you.
No, I wouldn't either. I wouldn't believe that. Like, he's so compelling now. It's
yes.
Nuts.
And all they had to do was make him depressed and then show him becoming less depressed.
Literally. Like,
actually, I can pinpoint the exact moment. I was like, okay, wait, no, this guy fucking rules. It was in the build to Stadium Stampede last year. Not the one they did this year with the Inner Circle and the Pinnacle, but the one they did last year with the Inner Circle and the Elite.
Yeah.
Hangman, who I think was out of the Elite by this point, I should add. I think he had quit the Elite by this point. And had been off TV for a few weeks, maybe a month. Because it was early pandemic, and I think he actually just wasn't like... I think he was just like, I don't know, I'll stay at home for a while, let ride this shit out. Social distance.
Yeah.
He, during the build to that, he returns by sprinting the length of the football field to clothesline. Somebody, I want to say it was Sammy Guevara.
Yes, in cowboy boots.
No in way. Cowboy boots. He runs 100 yards in cowboy boots and jeans. And gave Sammy Guevara a lariat. It was so sick. And I was like, wait, this guy rules. Awesome. Then in Stadium Stampede, he does a buckshot lariat off Kenny's back. And just last year, they really built him up really great of him getting away, like the wedge driving itself between himself and the Elite. And him just becoming like, him getting recruited by the Dark Order and not wanting to, like, becoming their friend, but not wanting to join the group, not wanting to tell them that he doesn't want to join the group because he doesn't want to hurt their feelings because they're his friends and he loves them.
It's so wholesome.
Then him, his feud with, then the like, him through the tournament and the mini feud he had with Kenny, where him and Kenny lost the belts and then they end up facing each other in the finals of the Eliminator tournament last year, and Kenny beats him. And then Kenny ends up winning the belt. And then Hangman falls in with the Dark Order, and then has the feud with Matt Hardy earlier this year, where you get that great fucking moment. I think it was at Revolution, which I think we reviewed. I think we talked about
this. Yes, we did.
At Revolution, where Matt Hardy knocks him off the apron and the Dark Order catch him and push him back onto the apron and he does the buckshot out of it. That's one of my favorite visuals. Is fucking 14 sets of 14 hands reaching up and grabbing him and pushing him back onto the apron.
Telling a story, Marcus.
Yeah, telling a story about how his friends lift him up, because lifting your friends up is cowboy shit.
That's cowboy shit. Wholesome cowboy shit. It's so good.
Yeah.
Like, his little relationship with the Dark Order. Without, like, fully being a member, but he's, you know, he's there for him, you know.
I would like for him to just kind of officially join them.
Yeah, me too. Honestly, like, I feel like it's time to.
I feel like he should just say, yeah, what do you mean I'm not part of the Dark Order? I've been part of the Dark Order the whole time. God, and for him to be just like whatever number, and that'll be that. And I love that, the idea of him being the kind of pseudo leader of the Dark Order.
Yeah, that'd be perfect for him.
Why not? You know,
why not?
But they, everything about this match ruled. This match was incredible.
So good.
From the entrances on. So they show this video package of Hangman riding up to the building on a horse. And you see him when they, like, at the press conference for All Out in 2019, saying that he was going to be the first champion. And then immediately Jericho hits him with Judas Effect and pins him. Then you have him losing the tag belts with Kenny, him coming back and winning everything, and him saying, you got to get, you fall down, you get back on the horse, because that is cowboy shit. Just fucking awesome. And then he comes out into the building, and you would have thought this dude was the biggest star in the world, not just in wrestling. You would have thought he was fucking Megan Thee Stallion. You would have thought he was Bruno Mars. He comes out and it is like the roof comes off that place. And he comes out, he does this thing. Kenny comes out, which I don't know if I've said it on the show. Kenny's theme music is incredible. Little V, who did that music, is one of. He's one of the best fucking guys out right now, just doing his thing. And
Ivan.
You know, he's fucking great, and I'm glad that they paid him to do that. He comes out, and when he's going into the ring, there's a fan standing there with a sign that says, "What would Coda think?"
Oh yeah, that's right.
And the way they do this is perfect, where they want to draw your eye to it, because Kenny stops and he looks at it, like before he goes up the steps. Don Callis walks around to where that fan is to draw your attention there, so you know what Kenny's looking at, and it's like a fun little Easter egg for people who, you know, watch the New Japan stuff, which I imagine is a large part of the audience, is people are fans going back to then. But I'd be willing to say there are probably people who don't know that. And so for them, they're like, huh, what's that? You know? And then they find out, somebody tells them, and then they go back and look at that other shit, you know? It's all cool and cyclical. I'm not going to get too into the details of this match, mostly because I don't remember a lot of the details, but they just beat the shit out of each other. It was awesome.
That's the thing. They literally go off, and one of my favorite things about this match is the result, because
it's the only way that story can end.
That's what I'm saying. It's so – I honestly think that it would be such a fucking farce if after 2 years they just like have Kenny win it. That's right. Like a fucking TNA move, it feels like, even, you know, like,
I mean, I wouldn't even say the TNA move. Would it's hard to say, because TNA,
oh yeah, no, you're right, they are tricky, because
like, huh. The only guy I can think of that they did that with was, they did it with Samoa Joe a lot.
I think
Bobby Roode, Samoa Joe, yeah. They did that with I feel like they kind of did it with Daniels, where it was like, now's the time. And then they were like, no, there's a bigger story we want to tell. So they wouldn't put the belt on him.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's what it feels like. I think it was mainly Bobby Roode.
I mean, but WWE does it too, where WWE.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, one of their, like, they almost missed the boat with Jeff Hardy. I think if they had waited, like, another 2 months with him, or not, mm-hmm. like, if they had waited, like, another few months with Jeff they would have never worked.
Absolutely.
It would have been like an exasperated finally instead of a relieved finally, you know? I'm glad that Tony Khan is smart enough to recognize, because like fucking in the lead up to it, people were saying two things. Either A, Hangman should lose, and so we drag this out until what, fucking Revolution? Because they felt like you're missing out on an opportunity to do Punk and Kenny for the belt, and Danielson and Kenny for the belt, which you don't have to do that match for the belt. I think we saw when they had that first match in New York, that those two dudes don't need, there doesn't have to be anything but pride on the line. And I love that that's a thing that you can do in AEW, is this, two guys don't like each other, or two guys want to prove who is better, so they just have a fucking wrestling match.
It's so nice how simple all of it can be.
Right. I don't think they can simultaneously do the really complicated stuff and really simple stuff.
Exactly. Just pure exhibition matches or something like that. It's fine. Yeah. You know, just have two guys wrestle. You know, Punk versus Kenny is going to be awesome, but we don't need it for the title.
Right. And Punk is clearly doing other shit right now. They have other plans for him.
Yes,
on Dynamite, he came out and confronted MJF, which, cool, because it keeps MJF away from the belt. The other thing that people were saying they should do was, I saw this float around, was Hangman should win the belt and then lose it immediately. And it's like, Impact just did that with Josh Alexander. Don't do that. Somebody winning the belt in this big emotional moment just to lose it does nothing for anybody.
No, look. Okay, they made the most of it, but when WWE did that to Christian, I got so fucking hurt.
Oh, God. Yeah.
So fucking
And it turned out to be the best feud of Randy Orton's career, but...
Yes. Yes.
But...
at the time, it hurt.
Yeah.
It hurt.
And... And it wasn't supposed to, you know? Like, Christian was supposed to turn out to be this whiny douche heel. But the whole time, all you could think was that, like, he was in the right. With Hangman, like, if you want, like, because the idea was that he would lose it to MJF immediately. And it's like, that doesn't do anything.
No,
like
for
anybody, it makes you, the person who were invested in this story of Hangman finally reaching the mountaintop, feel cheated, and it doesn't make MJF any more unlikable. I think exactly. He is maxed out on how despicable he is and how much people. It's tricky because I think that people don't like him and. You're not supposed to, but then the fact that people don't like him makes the people who think, who are like, ooh, you know, you're not supposed to like him more. And he's in a weird spot, but it doesn't make him any more unlikable.
It doesn't do Hangman Page any fucking favors because he wins the title and he loses it. Like,
right. It doesn't do Kenny any favors because Kenny has to have this grueling 30-minute match. Or 25, however long the match was, after this year-long title reign where he was wrestling hurt, and then for the guy he lost it to just lose immediately, makes him look like a chump retroactively.
Literally. So they made the right decision. I'm happy with it. I'm glad they pulled the trigger when they did. They call it the Reign of Terror back in 2003 2004.
Oh, with Triple H.
That reminds me of it a little bit. Like if they had actually done it, they just kept it going.
Here's the thing about Triple H's Reign of Terror is that it ended like two or three times where somebody would beat him and then he'd win it right back.
Yes. Yeah.
Because let's see. Michaels beats him at Survivor Series in 2002. He wins the belt back from Michaels at Armageddon. He should have lost the belt to Booker T at WrestleMania 19 and didn't. Yes. But then I think he eventually dropped it to Goldberg, I think, beat him for it. And then he beat Goldberg and won it back. Then Benoit beats him. And then Orton beats Benoit. And then Triple H beats Orton. And then Triple H loses it to Batista. And then that stops. It stops at Batista. Because he put Batista over like 3 times in a row.
Oh, yeah. No, like, I think like
Batista just beat his ass all the time.
Over and over. Like a Hell in a Cell match or something.
Yeah. Fucking, yeah, they had like a barbed wire steel cage match or some shit.
Yeah. Some crazy shit.
Yeah. But that's... I like that AEW does not have anybody hot-shotting the belt. No, all three... Prior to Hangman, in 2 years, they had 3 world champions.
That's great.
Or 3 years, I guess, because they started in 2019, so this will be... This is year 3.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Jericho. Jericho... Moxley, Omega, and now Hangman. The shortest of those reigns is Jericho's, and it's still like 8 months long.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Jericho won the belt in August, held it until March. So that's six or seven months.
Except, yeah.
Moxley wins it in March, holds it until December.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
And then Omega won it in December. Held it until November. 11 months. I want Hangman to hold it for at least 6 months. I want every AEW world title reign to be fucking long. And when he does lose it, I want him to lose it to Miro. Like, I know that it'll probably be MJF. But I don't see how you look at what Miro's doing right now and you don't think that's my next world champion.
Oh, Miro's phenomenal.
He's cutting promos on God.
On God.
He's talking about his whole character was I win because God lets me, and then I go home and I plow my wife. Now he's like, I lost because God mocks me, and as long as God mocks me, everyone will be broken until I can become champion again and I can allow myself to see my wife again. Because I can't let her see me as a loser.
It's fucking awesome. It's
fucking incredible.
It's like that promo we cut on Danielson. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so good. Oh my God, he's phenomenal. So possible next title holder. I hope at least. Yeah, man, AEW's making some really fucking smart moves. I am thoroughly satisfied with their product. I think
I am sports entertained.
Yes, absolutely. speaking of sports entertained,
talking about all those people that WWE cut.
That is just. I don't know. I'd never really talk about it all that much. I don't try to bring it up. But holy shit.
Yeah. It's
like, and seeing some of this stuff is like fucking nuts. Like,
Tegan Knox is kind of the real shocking one to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
of the most recent batch, because they cut a bunch of people yesterday. They cut a bunch of people 2 weeks ago, too. They cut the entirety of Hiro, who they had just called up. Like, they had been on the main roster for a month, and they cut all four. They started with B-Fab, and then cut everybody else yesterday. Which, how you cut Shane Strickland is beyond me.
Oh my God, that shocked me. I was like, you're really gonna... Shane Strickland? That dude's fucking really good.
He's incredible. You need somebody that you can have just wrestle the middle of your show. Hey, we need somebody to go out there for 8 minutes and really heat the crowd up. That's your guy right there.
Literally, the dude's phenomenal.
He's incredible, and the cutting him is crazy. And it's just really just like, who's safe? You know.
That's my whole thing. Is like who's safe? Keith Lee got fucking.
Keith Lee got cut.
Oh.
Mia Yim got cut. They just cut Shane Thorne yesterday too, which I like Shane Thorne a lot. I am surprised they didn't cut him sooner because they just did not appear to have any interest in doing anything with him.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, he was kind of middling.
Like, he was just kind of there, and they didn't. Post Retribution, they had nothing for him. And they didn't really have anything for him in Retribution. Retribution are weird because they were supposed to be, oh my god, this attacking force. What's anyone going to do about Retribution? And they lost all the time.
Holy shit. Just sucked, man. At least that, what's his name? Gunner? At least he got
cut. Yeah, Jackson Ryker. Finally, they finally cut him.
They finally cut him. They finally cut him. But at what cost?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of just, like, worrying. Because obviously, you know, I don't really care much for WWE anymore, but, like, oh, dude. Seeing these fucking cuts.
Yeah, just, and people were going like, how could you sign with this company knowing they could cut you on a whim?
I mean,
why are we questioning why people would sign with them, and more, why this company signs people that they will cut on a whim?
Exactly. Like, I'm pretty sure these people are you know, if you get a job, you figure you're going to be there for a while at least.
And like, these people are going to make way more money in WWE or in AEW or wherever than they're going to make working fucking indies.
Exactly. It's because it's steady. It's consistent.
It's steady. It's consistent. You don't have to take all these bookings and handle your own travel and do all these other things.
You're on a roster. They know you're going to get your match.
Either get your match or you will sit in catering. But when you sit in catering, there's still a set amount of money that they pay you. It's steady, guaranteed money.
So awful. So awful.
Like, I'm not going to shame people for taking guaranteed money in the field that they work in. That's stupid.
Exactly. Like, could you imagine the people who are saying this, like how they are at their fucking jobs. Like,
right.
Like, they're going to get cut at any moment.
And like, the problem is that they cut so many people. Because I understand it from the perspective of, I'm someone who follows sports pretty intensely. I know that sometimes you just don't make the cut. You know, they look around and there's only room for so many people. But that's not the case for WWE. They just made more money than they've ever made, and they've cut 35% of their roster this year. It wasn't just people who they have nothing for. It was people who were actively involved in programs or people who were on TV.
Yeah.
So on the one hand, I understand why people get cut because of whatever reason. I understand that's the nature of these things. If you're an NBA player, there's only so many spots on the team. You might get cut, have to go sign somewhere, go play in Europe for a year, play in China for a year, do whatever. But WWE does not have this problem. They have Raw on Monday, 3 hours. Main event, it's an hour. They've got NXT, 2 hours. 205 Live, an hour. SmackDown, 2 hours. They have all this TV time to fill. And they decided, no, we need to cut a third of our roster. A third of the people that work here need to just not work here anymore.
Crazy. And you just said, you mentioned that they made more money than they ever have. That's why when Laurinaitis says, oh, budget cuts,
it's such bullshit.
It's such fucking bullshit. It's not true.
The budget is fine. You guys just want to make more money.
Like, they just don't want to pay people, so they just fire them.
They don't want to pay people, so they can say, wow, look how much money we made this year.
So bad. So terrible.
Just It's a lot.
It is. And you know, like, people are like, oh, AEW will pick him up. And I'm like, I don't think AEW is going to pick up, like, anybody who just leaves WWE.
Right. There are certain people who I think they should absolutely grab. Nixon Newell, the former Tegan Knox, is one of those people.
Yes.
Right? I think any woman who gets cut from any major company, like Ring of Honor, basically shut down. They dropped most of their roster. They should sign Trish Adora. They should sign Willow Nightingale. They should sign every woman who becomes available should at the very least get a tryout.
Absolutely.
Because when you ask why there aren't more women on AEW TV, the answer that you get is that there aren't enough women ready for television. Well, these are women who have been on television. Tegan Knox, Nixon Newell, has been on television for the last few years. She's ready to go whenever. Trish Adora has been on TV. She's ready to go whenever. Willow Nightingale has been on TV. She is ready to go whenever. You can sign all these women. You can do more than one women's match on a show. You know, Mia Yim, they should grab. Now, should they grab every dude that gets cut? Fuck no. Jackson Riker, Gunner, whatever. He should not get a look from anybody because that dude sucks. There's nothing unique about him. There's nothing that you get from him that you don't get from a bunch of other dudes on your roster. You could just cut that dude loose. No one would notice. No one would care. If he never shows up on TV again, no one will notice that he's not signed anywhere.
Holy fuck.
What?
It's just, I don't know. Like, I was just looking, and I'm like, yeah, there's really not a lot of women in AEW.
I mean, they have a lot of women, but a lot of them are green, you know, and so they don't want to overexpose them. You can only run Hikaru Shida versus Serena Deeb so many times. I get it.
Yeah.
But if the excuse is, if the rationale is, there are not a lot of women on TV who are good to go in our company, then you go out and you get them. And so whenever any woman becomes available from WWE, from Impact, from Ring of Honor, from wherever, they need to be giving them a look. They do.
Absolutely.
Because somebody with a little TV experience, like, think of this way. Anna Jay is featured pretty prominently on Dynamite. She's had like 30 matches in her whole career. You know?
Yeah.
So you need somebody with more experience than her. And I like Anna Jay. But you need somebody for her to work with. And she can't just keep working whoever Ty Conti is working. You know? You got to have something for it. And they need to be able to reasonably do multiple women's matches on the show and stop bullshitting about it, you know?
Exactly.
Especially with the move to TBS coming, they can't just have, all right, we've got we have two women's championships and we have two women's matches a week. You know, that can't be the way this goes.
No, absolutely not.
But yeah, they should give those women a look. They should. I love all the men. You know, they didn't sign Buddy Matthews, which I should add. Why keep Buddy and not Murphy? Your finishing move was called Murphy's Law. Why you wouldn't just go by Murphy Matthews?
I know, that's kind of weird.
Yeah. But whatever. Weird. Yeah, WWE should stop firing so many fucking people. AEW should not hire everyone, and I don't think they will.
Yeah, I don't think they will either. I think they're going to be very careful with who they hire. Definitely they need to, like, at least give, you know, some of these. I love Willow Nightingale. I fucking love her. The fact that she has all that experience is so nice to see. You know, I hope, I pray that they give her a shot. But yeah, man, fucking dark times over there. Morale is at an all-time low.
Yeah, so somebody... I just want to touch on this real quick and we'll get out of here. Xavier Woods, Austin Creed, is one of the new hosts on G4 that just recently relaunched. G4 just opened back up first time in over a decade G4 is a thing again.
Yep.
Xavier Woods has his other job is being on G4. He may have gotten the news live on air. Like, there's a thing.
Oh, there's a video.
Yeah, where he looks down at his phone and then suddenly has to get up and walks off. I'm pretty sure that's him realizing in real time, like, oh, a bunch of my friends just got fired.
Fucking awful shit.
Just awful shit. Total fucking nightmare ghoul shit, man. And I don't know what the plan is. I don't know what the end game is, because who are the people we look at and can say, okay, we know for sure they're not going to just decide randomly let people go.
Roman Reigns, Randy Orton,
Charlotte Flair,
yeah,
Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch,
mm-hmm. Seth Rollins,
yeah. They've apparently recently made an offer to Johnny Gargano to try and get him to stay. But who knows? They might just decide to fucking cut him. The New Day are safe, I'd say. But like, that's outside of that, those people, the Usos, and by extension, I'd say Naomi.
Yeah.
But outside of that, who's safe?
Yeah, no. I like
Asuka, maybe.
Asuka, yeah, I could see that. But the landscape has just changed so much from when I watched it. You know, like when I was watching it, you had Ambrose, you had Wyatt, you had a lot of these folks. Yeah, you had Cena's help running around too.
Think of it this way. When I moved to Vegas the first time in 2015.
Yes.
Actually, let's say in 2016, right? Let's look at when they moved SmackDown. They did the brand split again, and they moved SmackDown back to going live. Or to going live for the first time. Dean Ambrose was WWE champion.
Yes.
He is now in AEW. As John back to being John Moxley. So he's out of there. Kevin Owens was, I want to say, Universal Champion at the time. His contract is up in 3 months. He's apparently out of there. Chris Jericho was around in 2015, 2016. He's out of there. He's in AEW now. You know.
Wow, I didn't know that about Kevin Owens, about his contract being up.
That's the rumor as it stands right now, is that his contract is up soon, and he is probably on his way out. Sami Zayn also apparently. His contract is up soon. He'll be out of there.
I can Kyle see them both Riley, from AEW.
Yeah, Kyle O'Reilly. His contract is up soon. He'll probably be out of there.
Oh, please bring back Red Dragon.
You know, like, there are so many people who were in that company as recently as the last 5 years who are just not there anymore. People who were there a year ago who are not there anymore. People who were there at the start of the pandemic who are not there anymore. Hell, they fired Drake Maverick. They fired him,
mm-hmm.
brought him back as part of the storyline, and then fired him again last week.
Yeah, they fired him again. That's awful.
It's awful. It's just, like, what's their fucking problem?
Like, what's going on? It looks like it feels like a Starbucks turnover kind of.
Yes.
It's so bad. They're there for the summer season, and that's it.
It's like, all right, so here's who's not here anymore, because we don't have the labor hours anymore.
And I think it puts strain on the folks who are working there, too.
Yeah.
You know, because, okay, not only do they have to worry about their jobs, but they also have to worry about doing well enough to keep their jobs.
I mean, and in some cases, I don't even think it's performance issues. I think they just look around and they're like, who's got a contract that we can just get rid of?
And it sucks, because you
can't. Who do we not see as untouchable and has a contract that we don't think is worth keeping on?
Who's just a number?
Yeah, who is just a number?
Who's just the number that, you know, that we can just get rid of? It's ridiculous. Obviously, the shining light is, you know, the indies. You know, I think that's, you know, the sh- like AEW, the indies, I do think it's nice to see, or it'll be nice to see the indies kind of get a little bit better. But, like, it's also, like we've stated before, it's inconsistent work. It's not, for them, it's not, it's hard for them to make a living on the indies.
Right.
Or, you know, not as easy if they were, as if they were in AEW or WWE. So, I don't know. It's worrying to see. Hopefully this shit fucking stops. Please stop.
It probably won't. We will probably, I think early spring, it'll just be, all right, here's a bunch of people who don't work here anymore. And they used to do this every year. And I think, but before it was like once a year, they would like look around and go like, who don't we have anybody, anything for? Who can we just, who can we let go?
It would be spread out too. Like sure, you'd have a few, over the course of
like
two or three days. Yeah, like a week. Yeah, it'd be like two people, and then to be it. Like you, the most you'd see is like maybe eight people get released, right? This is like fucking 12.
Once a month, if not more now. You know,
literally, they're just finding any way to save money that they don't really need.
No, it's to make, I guess, to make investors happy.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's like, wow, they're, look at all this growth, you know? And it's like, you didn't grow, though. Your TV ratings are low, which I, as a viewer, don't give a fuck about their TV ratings. But if I was an investor, I'd care, right? But, like, the TV ratings are the same or worse, and you're selling the same amount of merchandise. We made the same money from the TV deal. What grew? And it's like, well, the number is bigger because you spent less money on contracts.
Exactly. That's it.
Anyway.
On a lighter note, new podcast tomorrow, Avengers vs. X-Men. Well, I don't know if you're releasing it tomorrow, but you're not.
I'm recording it tomorrow. So, let's get into the plugs, as it were, and we'll get out of here.
I just did a false advertisement. I'm so
sorry. False advertisement. Well, actually, you know what? So this episode's going to go up Saturday. I'm recording that episode Saturday night, so it will be tomorrow.
Mary Chrysler.
Yeah.
Tomorrow
when you're hearing it, if you're listening on Saturday, when this goes up, tomorrow, I will be putting up episode 4 of MCMF. It is Avengers versus X-Men with my pal Gary, who is a real fucking trooper, because Gary lives in England, and we are going to be recording this episode at like 8 p.m. my time, which is like 4 a.m. his time.
4 a.m.?
Yeah. In his words, he is, quote, a gremlin and has no sleep yet. So I will be doing that. Gary rules. So we'll be doing that. I've got a few episodes of that lined up, which if you would like to keep up with the comings and goings, things as I announce them, follow that Twitter at MCMFpod. You can follow the Twitter for this show at this pod here. You can follow me at Archer Arios, ArxHerArios. The XC do not make me explain it. And you can follow Monet at Deep Space Niners. That's Deep Space, the number 9, ERS. Anything you want to plug?
I want to plug something I'm doing, a special thing I'm doing next week.
Yeah.
It's a little podcast we're talking about. Finally getting it off the ground because I got a new headset and it's actually not the worst thing in the world. We're going to start out with, it's just a little sci-fi TV show podcast. I've been watching quite a bit lately in my free time. And the first episode will be about Babylon 5 Season 1. Sure to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a little podcast, about 30, 45 minutes. But it's going to be a good one. A shorty but a goody.
Shorty but a goody. Goody but a shorty.
Shouty.
Thank you all for joining us on this episode. We are going to end up at like exactly 90 minutes, which I think is cool for us.
That fucking rules.
I'd say we won't take a month off between episodes, but you know us by this point. We probably will.
We're in and out, you know?
Yeah, you know. You know,
just vibing.
Yeah. But in any event, take care, stay safe, and we will catch you all next time.